Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is sponsored by ChampionshipBreeders.com. Championship Breeders is a proud supporter of the American Kennel Club, our specialty and all breed clubs, our dog sports, and the gifts of therapy and service from our canine companions. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. Norma Smith, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy to do it.
Sure, appreciate you taking some time. We're going to talk today about suggestions that you have that will help succeed in the ring.
Okay, super.
So what's your top three suggestions, kind of general for every person when they get started with their new dog? Top three things to think about.
You know, really, the bottom line is they have to breathe, because the breathing is the connection with the dog too, and your confidence level. Going in there, you know, many times in my seminars that first go around, people are blue because they're not breathing. And so it is important when you hear people say, oh, put a mint in your mouth. You know, they say it also kills the adrenaline smell. But really what it does is that most people can't walk and chew gum. So
right?
They have to open their mouth and be able to breathe. And so that makes it a better situation for them. And it also brings in that air. So it's an expanding with their lungs. And it also sends more confidence down to the dog.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then number two.
Number two. Wow. You know, honestly, many judges that I've talked to through the years, it really is about observing what's going on, the judge's direction. So important. You know, you've got 2 minutes to really make an impression. And most of those judges, as hard as it is in scheduling today, they're on such a time frame, you don't have an opportunity to not do what they say
right,
or to listen. So it really is to go up there before the ring, to observe, to check out what pattern they're doing. And then the breathing helps to help you focus, getting in there, listening. And you know, if you don't hear it, bottom line, ask the judge, I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I just want to make sure I heard what you said.
Right.
So that you don't do something wrong and then you have to restart and the judge is going, you know, I'm looking at my watch going, okay, we don't have time for this.
Right.
Or, you know, they maybe didn't have a great morning anyway and it's a little irritant. You know, so better to give the respect of saying, I'm sorry, can you repeat that for me, so that you're right the first time.
Very good.
And you know, the third one, I think it's so important, is our dress.
Yes.
You know, this is a gentleman's sport. We take a lot of pride. Been in this for, 42 years? And I've never worn a pair of pants. It's always been a very professional for me. And even in my seminars, we understand there are things that happen, women, a knee brace is something that may be pants. But overall, it still is a gentleman's sport. We are supposed to look the part, be very professional, and just like the men should be in suits. You know, I know the summer, it's the polo shirts and khakis, but you know, truly, many years ago, in the beginning, at Westminster, whatever big Super Bowl dog show we have, they're not going to wear that. They're going to look very professional. And you know, and for women, there's so many styles out there. So again, simpler the better, the class, but always take somebody with you, or run, or bend over, whatever it's going to take. And even with men in your suits, so important. And you know, guys, if you have shoes you can shine, shine them. Look the part. You know, we have to take pride in ourselves, because it goes right down the lead. And judges really do notice, because that first impression with anything in our life, whether it's dog shows or the corporate world, it is so important.
Yes. And, you know, you hit on something, Norma, that I think is really important. I'd like you to maybe expand on that a little bit. And that's respect. Respect for the sport. Respect for the judges.
Absolutely.
You know, we have a lot of people now, and they're trying to learn. And I understand they're trying to learn, but they wind up trashing people. And there's just an awful lot of disrespect. Can you talk a little bit about that and your
sure.
sense about that and your feeling
you
on
know,
that?
You know, in my seminars, you know, I say, listen, you have a new group of people that can go up to the ring with you, that can watch you, that necessarily isn't in your breed,
mm-hmm.
so that maybe that level of the negativity may not be there. You know, we've got to keep it positive. And even with the judges, we may not like what they do, but we have to give them the respect, because you know what? No matter what, we can learn something from everybody.
Yes.
And what's happening today in that ring, and even myself, once in a while, I'll show a problem dog from a seminar. They never say congratulations or good job. They're doing nothing behind me. And you know, even the respect of that, I'm not saying you have to gush all over these people, but nice job. Nice win.
Yes.
Even if you don't want to say congratulations.
Yes.
You know, the sportsmanship has been lost. And in doing that, the respect for the judges, the attitude you have, if you don't put me up kind of thing. But no matter what, you paid for their opinion. And it is just an opinion. And if you don't like it, that's fine. But don't trash them at that level. Let's raise it back up to the bar that it used to be when our sport was the best of the best in it, so that we aren't being a negative force in this. You know, we're losing a lot of people in this sport, and we need to bring this back and to have that camaraderie, you know, because competition is good, but bottom line, you can still be my friend afterwards, go to dinner, and it's the same as the judges. Whether you like their opinion that day, you can still respect them as a breeder, as an exhibitor, or whatever they did before they're judging now. So we can all benefit from that, aspects from what they're bringing into the breed you're showing them.
Correct.
What their knowledge is. The problem is today, ones don't go to the history books of their breeds. You know, we could be showing to a judge that had a top winning something and you wouldn't even know, because these new exhibitors aren't checking into pedigrees, checking into the old stuff, because that's the foundation. That's our base. If we don't have that, we have nothing. And so it's so important to go back to our roots, in a sense, in this. And that's where the respect comes. That's where just the ability to know that you can learn something from anyone. And it's so important that we have that pride in ourself.
Yes. Yes.
To rise above, no matter what the outcome is. And if it's positive, great. Then make it positive and show others how it should be a positive then. But, you know, just give them the respect that's due. Maybe they always aren't as respectful to you because they've had a bad day. You know, we never know what goes on behind closed doors, in a sense.
Yes.
So, you know what? Don't bring our problems in to theirs. Let's make it all work for the best for the dog, because we forget all that negativity. If it's a bad situation, it all goes right down the lead.
And we wonder why the dogs aren't having fun.
Absolutely. It is so important, because we have to remember, we're here for the dogs. We make them do this. And if it's not all about the dogs, then, you know, we need to look at this differently, because a lot of people do live their life through their dogs. So let's make your life as positive it can be, so the dog can really have an incredible show life, a life out there that you've made it a positive, not like, oh, I'm dreading to be here. Let's make that dog believe it's the best it can be when it comes through that ring.
Right. And so the exhibitor, the handler, has to believe that about themselves.
Absolutely.
And about their dog, and they have to project that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So taking that respect, that conversation a little bit further, where do you see areas that exhibitors themselves, okay, we're talking about what can you do personally as an exhibitor to improve your sport? What's your recommendation for people? You've been doing this an awful long time. You've seen an awful lot of periods of the sport. So the new exhibitor, what do you tell them? How do you make a better life at the dog show?
You know, they just have to go there and actually turn their car off when they're showing, not just run in there and show their dog and leave. You know,
yes.
The sport has become, everybody just goes and shows and leaves. It's a drive-through instead of a sit-down restaurant, a four-star restaurant. Because the bottom line is, everybody needs to sit through your breed, through the group, and a best in show, to really get a grasp of what the level is, what the reality of having a best in show dog is. Why are we showing dogs if we're not achieving to have the best of what our breed can be, whether it's in our breeding or our showing, you know, the betterment of our breed, the betterment of our sport. And that means you have to understand how it works.
And more than once, I would recommend.
Absolutely. You know, it's so difficult, because I tell people at my seminars, you know, guys, you do have to shut your car off. You don't leave it parked in and run. You go show and you leave. Forget the baby shower. Forget the lunch you have to go to or the dinner. Because if you have that, you're not giving your all to this. And so why do it?
Right.
Really?
Right.
Because you're hurting yourself, but mostly your dog. Because it's really not about, I'm trying to betterment of my breed or betterment of my sport. It's just a hobby. Well, and I love, it's a great hobby for many. But most of us take our hobbies pretty seriously, because it's an investment.
Yes.
An investment of time, too. And longevity of our animals, and trying to make that better, that our pets, our couch potatoes, are with us for a long time. And it's like when I used to show dogs and a dog would go home after being, the owner would say, but you made it a better dog, a better pet. You know, and that's what it's all about.
Right.
Because first, they're your pets. Then there are show dogs. Then there are breeding stock or whatever goes after the pet, whatever your goal. The problem is, too, today, they don't set goals. They're here. Just like I tell people, when you're in the ring, everybody's looking down and not paying attention. You need to look forward like you're hitting a golf ball. Look where you want to go, where you want to be, what goals you want in this. Do you want just a champion? Do you want a group-winning dog or a word of merit, you know, a dam that's producing? What do you want? Do you really want that best in show dog? Then, you know, you need to put the effort into it, the time. It's not a one-time fix here. It is effort. It's a lot of time and energy, blood, sweat, and tears.
Lots of tears sometimes.
You know, I'll never forget, Greg Louganis was my partner in Bouvier's for a long time. I showed a special, and Greg had called me about a dog. Didn't realize it was him because it didn't matter. It's like I said to him after the end, bottom line, whether you're the President of the United States or whoever you are, if you don't love my dogs the way I do, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. And, you know, he respected that. But, I mean, I also talked to him not knowing about competition, how hard it is. And loving your dog is the most important thing because you're not always going to win. You know, here I'm talking to Greg Louganis like that. And he's like, I mean, I was probably thinking, this freak, you know, she doesn't even know who I am. But, you know, we had a 16-year relationship with breeding dogs and stuff. But that is the respect you give to somebody. It doesn't matter if it is the president or someone just walked off the street that loves this little dog and will give it the best home. You just want to do what's going to be best for that dog and understand, will it always be easy? No. But if you're doing it from your heart, and it's like I tell my seminar people, you know, for one, you're here. That gives you common sense. And you're doing it from your heart because you love your dog. That, again, makes it just such a wonderful thing for that dog to, you know, expand its horizons in a sense.
Yes.
To give it more than just the couch, if it should have that. Because there's so many great show dogs that are just sitting on the couch that our breeding programs need. And because maybe somebody didn't show them or teach them in the beginning how it works at a show. Many great people have walked in and they're looking and they're, no one's there to help. That's what you're doing with this. You're helping, and that's what I try to do.
Yes.
To get those people that have those great dogs, that make them understand, you can do this, it's okay, but you just need somebody to direct you, because it's not easy.
And that would be my final question for you. Okay, we've talked to our newbie people,
yes.
Right? Okay,
yep.
So now we're going to talk to our people that are more our era, right?
Okay, yep.
What do we need to do?
You know, with all of the dog knowledge, the ones that have been in it forever, the ones that were in it before you and I,
mm-hmm.
You know, when I've got 42 years in it, and I know how many years you have in it too, you know, I'm dating myself. I came out of the womb
yeah,
and I started. So, you know, but we really, the bar was so high when we were in it,
mm-hmm.
And the bar's come down a lot. And I believe it's only because, for one, a lot of us are older and it's harder, but that new generation, they aren't taking that time of being an assistant for 9 years. And, you know, you need to find the older handlers, because I really believe that they will help in any way they can to give the support, to give a helping hand, to suggest how you should do something. You know, anybody can buy a truck and say they're a handler. It's all the other stuff. The stuff, the grooming, the caring, the feeding, you know, all the stuff that we do naturally. And, you know, in doing my seminars, the problem is for us. And a lot of the old-time handlers, it's because it came natural.
Right.
It's what you do. You know, when I took over the handling seminars from George Alston, I went to several of his because I knew what to do, but I wasn't sure of the wording.
Right.
So I had to learn the wording
right.
to express why we do what we do.
Right, and I think that's part of what I'm hoping that these will help with. I had a very good handler friend of mine, a very successful handler friend of mine, tell me, I love these podcasts. He said, I can do it,
right.
but I can't tell them expressing. How to do it. And so
absolutely.
I think that that's really important that some of us that have been doing this a while think about, how do we talk to people?
Absolutely.
You know?
You know it is. It's just sitting and, because there are a lot of good dog people out there that we really aren't talking to because we would never know, because they're maybe afraid to really talk about it, because you know they either say you have either have an eye or you don't.
Right.
And there are a lot of really good judges coming up that do.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's a whole different ballgame. And I guess us older ones have to adapt a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is about reaching out and just helping the ones.
Right.
If we walk by someone's setup and see something, I mean, yeah, you just don't. But you know, you might just pull somebody aside nicely and say, listen, maybe if you did this a little differently. But you know, the problem with today's society and all of the internet and all that, you can do it because you can see a video and you've learned it all. But that's not coming from your gut. You know, what we do and what we've done, that's our gut feeling. And you have to follow that too. And I think as we're obviously older and experienced in this, you realize, you look around, you want to help these people because we don't want to see our sport die.
Right.
Bring out the suggestions that we can help in any way. Watch them in the ring and just say, you know, maybe if you held your hand a little differently or stood a little straighter, it would help the posture and the movement of your dog.
Right.
The problem is a lot of handlers today, they see a handler do something and they just do it. It's just like I say at my seminars, if I'm on the Empire State Building and I jump off, doesn't mean you need to jump. You know, and a lot of them, they just see them do it. They don't understand why they're doing it.
Right.
They're fixing a problem. And, you know, so maybe ask someone, why is it you do that? Let them explain to you what problem they're fixing. And then you'll know if you ever have a dog that has that, then you know what to do. And I think that's where all of us with the experience need to step up and explain why we do what we do.
Right.
Not just do it, because then they're doing it on dogs that maybe don't need it.
Exactly.
And it causes other issues.
Exactly. And I think if all of us, even if we just pick one person, pick a person.
Right.
Whether it's not your assistant, whether it's somebody, pick a person.
Right.
I'm going to help this person.
Right.
And I'm going to quietly kind of coach this person a little bit and guide them a little bit.
Absolutely. And actually now, you know, with the seminars, I'm also doing ringside mentoring.
Right.
And it's the same thing. You watch them, you kind of see, okay, just small suggestions, you know, and you learn to kind of talk nicely, suggest things sweetly,
nicely.
Be a little more tactic than maybe what I would have been before
many years ago.
You know, but it really makes a difference. It makes a difference that maybe you introduce them to somebody else that isn't in their breed so they can have a buddy, so they can watch what they're doing to maybe let them know.
Right.
Being in a breed, it's not always easy because other people competing against you. So find a friend. Maybe we get new friends. I don't know.
We all need friends, man.
Yeah.
Norma, one more thing before you go. I forgot to ask, and I wanted to give you the opportunity here. Can you tell us a little bit more? You were talking about your seminars. I know you took over from George Alston, correct?
I did.
So tell us a little bit more about what you're doing. And I saw you were doing grooming ones also.
Yes. Actually, the seminar, you know, we're doing them with many clubs. And it really is just, they're having people come, whether you're advanced or beginners. They also have observers there. But really it is, it's a two-day seminar that start to finish. How to hold a lead right from hopefully winning best in shows. But it's been an amazing experience for me to really give back and help and to see the changes.
Right.
And they're calling you and texting you, oh, I won this or I did this. But it's a more one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever issues they're having there in the ring, whatever we're doing, we work with it right there. And I do it in front of everybody so everybody can learn what this problem is to fix it. And, you know, we average about 25 people to 30 people. A club puts it on, sponsors it, and clubs don't have to. You know, even an independent, as long as you have a training facility, can sponsor it. And then I also do the ringside mentoring at some of the bigger shows, and then also the grooming seminars. The grooming seminars, we don't have as many because it's a little harder, in a sense, to get them together in the facility.
In depth, it really is. Yeah.
Whether it's from scissoring to hand stripping, whatever it is, how to blow a dog out properly.
Right.
You know, any type of grooming that way. So, you know, just try any aspect of it that's needed with issues that people may have.
Perfect. And how do clubs get a hold of you? We'll have some information in the show notes. Is that the best way?
Yep. We'll
you
know, I'm on Facebook, obviously, NormaSmithHandlingSeminars.com.
There you go.
Really, because it's just a lot of word of mouth.
Yeah.
The ones that have been there kind of help promoting it. We're in some of the magazines also, but it really is the ones that are there.
Right.
That are helping. The ones that can really see a difference. And then they say, oh, well, my friend, that kind of thing. And that's really what I want.
Perfect.
I want to help the ones that truly need it.
Absolutely. I agree with you. All right. Well, thank you for being my friend, Norma. I sure appreciate it. You've been a joy to talk to.
Thank you. I wish
you all the success in the world.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. And it's been such a gratifying experience for me to do the seminars and really helping.
Right. And I think that's what it's all about.
Super. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, you.
Sunny.
Bye-bye.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.